there's a decision that's made. And then the second part is you keep doing it even when you don't want to do it. So it's really super easy to wake up in the morning and have like a really healthy eggs and veggies or have a smoothie or even fast. Where your commitment shows up towards your goal is, you know, take real estate, for example. Your property might be up for auction and it's auction night and it sells. And so you want to reward that. Or opposite, it doesn't sell and you want to relieve the stress. And so typically people will reach for a couple of glasses of wine. So your commitment to the outcome shows up when it's not convenient. And the hardest thing about change is having the presence of mind to be able to do things differently that you would have done previously. And so where you actually get the competitive edge and get the result is when it's really, really tough.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to 2020 and a brand new episode of the Elevate podcast from Elite Agent. I am Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent.
And I'm Mark Edwards. I'm the publisher over here. Sam, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Any marvellous resolutions this year?
What, like New Year, New Me?
New Year, New You. So 2020, is this going to be the year?
Well, this is the time of the year when everyone says, I'm going to get insert fit, healthy, thin, fabulous, rich.
Yep.
Insert something here.
Yep.
You know, because generally New Year is a time when, number one, we're getting over our hangovers.
Yep.
And number two is we resolve to make this year different somehow to last year.
And so is this the year for you?
Is this the year for me? What, do you want something different? I'm kidding.
No, not
Damn.
Really.
Well, no, as you know, I sort of made a few changes last year and a lot of people read about them in my editor's letter from a few issues back, which I came up with the phrase that the cheat is not the treat. Because I was in this point in my life, I think, where I was very stressed. I'd let my health go and had to make some big changes. Well, I was forced to make some big changes. One of them was that, you know, I was told I had a bio age of 80.
Yeah, it wasn't really a choice, was it?
No, so it wasn't a choice. But, you know, like I found some good people to help me make a few changes. And one of them was this week's guest.
Victoria O'Sullivan. She's a woman that's been part of our lives probably for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the change that we've seen, I have personally seen, and I think a lot of our close friends have seen over the 12 months, has just been absolutely astounding, not only just for the outward changes, but also the inward changes. I think that you're a lot calmer, you're a lot more focused, you're a lot more considered in what you do and what you say.
Definitely. And I think Kate Strickland always talks about having a pit crew around you, you know, and I was very lucky to get to be surrounded by some good people last year. Perry Marshall, you know, I learned a lot from him. Victoria as well, I learned a lot from her, plus various other people. But the reason I wanted to get Victoria on the podcast is she's not just about diet or exercise, or she's a naturopath, but she's one of Sydney's best naturopaths. She's about peak performance. So, you know, not only does she help just general people coming in off the street like me, she also helps athletes, you know, cyclists and things like that. She's taught me a great few lessons that I kind of put together with a few books that I read earlier in the year, James Clear's Atomic Habits. So if you want to make change, definitely, I would say pick that one up.
Yep.
Definitely. Robin Sharma's The 5 a.m. Club. That's something else that we're talking about in this podcast, the ability to be bulletproof. So Dave Asprey. So there's a whole lot of different ideas in this podcast about getting you into peak wellness or peak performance for the next 12 months.
So I think what we all fall into this trap of, we just need to work harder, we need to work harder, we need to work harder. And the thing that suffers is our health. This is not sort of saying that you don't have to work harder. This is just basically getting the engine running right inside you, so that when you are running at that peak performance level, the engine is running smoothly. It's not struggling to keep up.
Absolutely. And so, would you believe, sleep is one of those things. Like if you're not sleeping enough, your body doesn't regenerate enough. And so that affects your mental state, which actually affects your energy, which affects your ability to perform, and so on and so on and so on.
It was quite interesting. So I've actually been in this journey with Sam, and the ability to be able to treat yourself well. You know, so even just the simple things of, you know, sort of staying off the cans before you go to bed,
cans.
You actually have got the opportunity to be able to have a good night's sleep. And the joy of waking up with a clear head and having had a very solid night's sleep, as opposed to one where your body is sort of fighting off the effects of alcohol before you go to bed, or a very large meal just before you put your head down, compared to being in tune with your body cycles and being in tune with what's going in there. One of the favourite quotes that I heard you say throughout the year is, if you're not filtering the food, you are the filter.
Filter or be the filter.
Filter or be the filter.
Yeah. And wellness has been a big topic in the industry in 2019. And one of our goals at Elite Agent, obviously, elevate, educate, entertain, is, you know, for you to all be well, happy and loving life.
It's quite timely for this one to start the year off. So hopefully we'll give you all the opportunity to be able to take some lessons out of this. This is by no means like a prescription as to what you must do, but there's a number of tips in here as to what you can do.
Some good, simple habits that you can form that, you know, you don't need to make these drastic changes overnight or anything like that. But James Clear talks about trajectory, and it's about the trajectory that you're on, not necessarily taking massive action.
It's the compound interest of those little changes throughout your life.
Yeah. And if you'd like to download the tips from this episode, there is an action guide, as always. We're continuing with those into 2020. You can download an action guide at eliteagentelevate.com. There's a link in that action guide to Victoria's website, vitalizewellness.com.au, where she's got a simple 7-day kickstart guide, which you can download for free, which, you know, if you're keen to get on the right track, I can highly recommend that as well.
Absolutely. Can you imagine going through that just before you step your foot back through the door if you're still having the time off at the moment? So get that recharge to the body happening. Yep. Another way that you can get all these tips as well is obviously through subscribing to Extra. That's going to be also continuing through 2020. Extra is that 40-page booklet that arrives on your doorstep every month with all of the month's podcasts in there. Now, considering that we had a couple of weeks off over December and January, we're going to be putting a few extras in there.
I got a phone call just before Christmas from one of our other subscribers who said, you know what I like about Extra is that, you know, I can actually tick off the things that I'm doing well. You know, like, so when you write down some sort of an actionable point that I'm already doing, it kind of validates that I'm doing a good job.
Or you can get the yellow highlighter out and put a line through the ones that you want to, you know, spend a little bit more time on there, or put a post-it note on the side.
Sure, a good idea. I hope you enjoy this podcast with Victoria. She has taught me so much over the last 12 months. So it is my pleasure to give you the gift of Victoria O'Sullivan.
Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Victoria O'Sullivan.
Thanks for having me along, Sam. It's great to be here.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
Happy 2020. It's the first time I've said that.
Yeah, here we are, new decade.
I know. And the reason I've got you here today is because a lot of people at the end of last year, they're all end of the year, quite tired, quite stressed. New Year is traditionally the time we all make new agreements with ourselves. And a lot of the time, as you know, it's going to be, I'm going to look after myself this year. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get fitter. Why do we all of a sudden start thinking about all of these things at the beginning of the year?
It's such a good question. And I think it's symbolic in terms of turning over the new year. But then if you look at heading into the last couple of months of, I think from like Melbourne Cup onwards, things just go crazy and bananas. So people, you know, are drinking and partying, and then in the mindset, it's kind of like, I'll deal with it in the new year, and they wipe the slate clean and treat it as a fresh start.
Yeah, actually, I've got a friend of mine in the industry who says, if you haven't lost your weight by Melbourne Cup, forget it till Easter.
It's all bets off, literally.
Absolutely. So the whole getting people healthier is one of your passions. So tell me a little bit about your business and what you do.
My main thing as a naturopath is I kind of help people realize their true health potential. And so the clients that kind of come in and see us, we've got one end of the extreme where they're super well and it's all about looking after themselves and anti-aging and longevity and pushing out their health span. And then we've got others that are at the opposite end of the stream where they're really unwell and they've got a chronic condition. And for some of them, they're at the end of the line and the medical system is like, well, there's nothing we can do. And then there's the in-betweeners, which is where the majority sit, and they're really tired, run down, and know that they're supposed to be feeling a lot better than what they are. And so they come to us looking for answers.
It's interesting too, because I think there's such a trend to wellness at the moment. I know in the real estate industry, everyone is thinking a lot more about their health and how they can perform better. So I can understand the reasoning that people start looking at that in January. But the trouble is that everyone gets all gung-ho in January, like, I'm going to get well, I'm going to get fit. This year is going to be different. New year, new me. And then it kind of drops off.
Oh, exactly.
Why is that?
If you type into, just do a basic Google search on the success of New Year's resolutions, it's something as small as 8%. Generally, they say roughly about 5% of people that say they actually get the success that they're looking for. So the stats on success are really, really small. And so you kind of want to look at what's different about the 8%ers to the 92%ers. And it's a mindset thing. And there's three key distinctions. The 8%ers go out of the blocks on New Year's and they think, okay, well, sticking with weight loss, for example, I'm going to say yes and I'm going to lose all this weight and then I'm going to work out how. And so there's a subtle decision that's made in the brain. The 92%ers, they kind of work out how before they're going to say yes. And the way it shows up in a fat loss kind of point of view is the saying goes that most people from a success point of view, we completely overestimate what we can do in 12 months and underestimate what we can do in 5 years. From a health point of view, it's shorter. So they kind of overestimate what they can do in a month and then underestimate what they can do in 6 to 12 months. The way it shows up is they pop themselves on these really extreme plans and cut everything out of their life and then are super disappointed because they've only lost a couple of kilos when they thought they were going to lose 10 kilos in a month.
You know, you and I have talked about this before because you've helped me a lot over the past 12 months, which I'm very grateful for. But, you know, a lot of people must come into you and expect, you know, like cutting calories is going to do it. But as we've found out, there are a lot of other factors that go on. So you've just talked about mindset being a factor. What about genetics? Does genetics have anything to do with how well we cope with stress, overindulgence, all of that sort of stuff?
It definitely does. It plays a certain part. So as human beings, we're kind of wired to survive and secondly, to reproduce. Take dieting, for example. If you go on a calorie restriction, it will definitely work for a period of time. And then after a couple of weeks of severe calorie restriction, and some of the fads out there are crazy, like, you know, 600 calories a day, every day, and that's just not enough to survive on. And so after a couple of weeks, the brain just kicks into survival and goes, hang on a second, this is starvation. Let's slow the whole thing down. So the brain sends a signal to the thyroid gland, for example, to slow down. So it'll slow down your metabolism. It'll also, being hungry all the time is quite stressful. And so it increases our stress hormone called cortisol. Cortisol breaks down muscle mass, which then further slows down your metabolism. And it just becomes one big kind of negative feedback loophole from hell. After a couple of weeks, it's almost like you start to get more and more hungry. And that's the brain's way of sending the signal to the hunger hormones, for example, ghrelin, and that increases your appetite. So then you start eating again and then you just put the weight back on.
That's what people refer to as hangry, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
It's like that vicious combination of hungry and angry.
And it's so stressful on so many levels. It's stressful on our biological level, but then it's also stressful on our relationships,
yeah.
which further aggravates the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get to some solutions in a moment, but let's also talk about the environment we exist in the year 2020, because it's not the same as it was 50, 100 years ago when we were all sort of living on the land. And you once said to me, filter or be the filter, which is something that I often think about before I put something in my mouth now or before I slap something on my skin or anything like that. So how bad is the environment today and what should we be doing about it?
It's a toxic soup that we're living in now. You know, like I go to conferences and some of the professors that speak up on the stage and they're the environmental professors. You walk walk out after their sessions and it's like you want to put a head in a bag. So I kind of get stressed listening to it as well. And you kind of want to do the best that you can. And so for women, for example, before they leave the house in the morning, they on average put a minimum of 12 different products on their body.
Mm.
And if your skincare or your body products aren't literally you cannot eat them, they're not safe to eat, then there's a level of toxicity in them. And all of those toxic chemicals are fat soluble. So they build up in our body fat. And then our liver has to convert that from toxic fat into water soluble so that you can then eliminate it safely out of the body. And so we're constantly being bombarded with chemicals in our environment. And so detoxifying and removing as much stuff out of your skincare products and also filtering out your air. You can buy things like a HEPA air filter, which basically cleans out the air in your environment, and doing the best you can to minimize your toxic exposure is really crucial for longevity.
Because then your body has to deal with less overall and you end up feeling better. I've heard actually wellness homes are a bit of a trend now. People are actually starting to build homes with air filters in them. Yeah, so that you don't have to be breathing, well, the air out here is not very good at the moment.
Exactly. One in four people are sensitive to mold, for example, and mold is now considered like a biotoxin and it produces a subset of symptoms. So I'm working with a lady at the moment who came in initially and it looked like a thyroid issue. She was on thyroid medication, so feeling really fatigued, not sleeping really well, weight gain, joint pain. And what we actually uncovered was that she was living in the ground floor of her apartment and her whole apartment is just covered in a sea of mold.
Mm.
And we started to clean up the mold environment and all of her symptoms started to really improve.
Yeah.
So your environment's crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of mold, it's actually a thing, you know, like I lived in a house with mold for a while as well and, you know, I couldn't work out what was wrong. But I've been reading a lot of Dave Asprey lately, as I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, and I'm a fan of his orange glasses.
Yes.
So he's going to live to 180. What do you think about that?
There's an element of truth to it. Science says now that basically if you more or less get to 50 years of age relatively unscathed, meaning that there's no chronic disease picture like cardiovascular, heart disease, medication, or like something like cancer, for example, then chances are with the advances in technology and things like stem cells, you'll live to over 100. But the question becomes, how well are you going to be when you're over 100?
Yeah.
And one of the key things for longevity is making sure that you've got healthy muscle mass. So the way the state of affairs is now is that people kind of retire in their 60s, 70s, and then the last 15 to 20 years of their life is one of a steady decline. And so what we really want to do is push out our health span. And by doing that, you want to protect things like your muscle mass, keep your waist measurement under control, managing stress. And so you've still got your marbles as
yeah.
well when you're over 100.
is there any way to, yeah, well, I was going to say, I find myself getting more forgetful as I get older. What's my memory going to be like at 180? Hopefully, okay. Although I don't
know. Well, you won't remember it anyway.
Yeah, or I just won't care. Do you think Dave's onto something? Because I know he's got a lot of followers out there and he's kind of gaining ground with his intermittent fasting and his keto diet and take collagen and all that sort of stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'm a massive fan of Dave Asprey. He's a thought leader in the field and he's walking proof of it as well with his health journey. And intermittent fasting is one of the most simplest things you can do to really help push out your life curve. So rather than doing something like the 5-2 diet where you're just calorie restricting a couple of times a week, when you actually skip a meal at the bookend, so breakfast or dinner, for example, and you get that extended fast period, after 12 hours, this process called autophagy kicks in. And autophagy is like a spring clean through the body. So we're always producing dodgy looking cells. It's whether or not our immune system and our body's recognizing them. And so at the 12-hour mark, you just get this taking the rubbish out. And so it's so good. And it's anti-inflammatory. It's very good for muscle growth. It detoxifies dodgy cells and inflammatory markers in the body. And so it's really, really good for life extension.
I read about the Survivor contestants because you know how they starve them. There's a lot of sports people, well, they starve them on rice and coconuts or something like that, which I know is carbs, but they don't get to eat for long periods of time. And they have a lot of sports people on that show, and a lot of them were saying that all their old injuries, their old inflammations and all that sort of thing were gone, inexplicably gone, after living on rice and coconuts. Not that I'm guessing you would recommend that, but...
Yeah.
But it does work.
Exactly. And if you look at the what are called the blue zones around the world, they're the pockets around the globe where they have the most amount of people that are beyond 100. And what's different about these cultures, because some of them, like if you look at the Mediterraneans, for example, they still smoke and carry on, but how come they're living to beyond 100? And then overall, one of the key things is this fasting, but also they don't eat as much food.
Interesting. Let's talk some actionable advice here for people that are wanting to get on the right track for the new year. In health and in diet, it's a place where, even more than real estate, fads come and go all the time, like trends come and go. So first of all, what's some of the worst health advice you've ever heard, other than say smoking makes you thin? Like what's the worst thing you've heard?
I think counting calories has to go up there as one of the major things, because if you compare a 500 calorie meal of, let's say, fish and vegetables and a bit of rice versus a Big Mac, there's a completely different set of health going on there. And it's so easy to fall short or overestimate or underestimate your calories. And so it's more than just counting calories. It's one of the fastest way to not get a result.
Interesting. So all calories are not created equal.
Exactly.
Okay. What is the most common problem you see with people that walk through the door, and how do you deal with it?
The most common issue, it's like lifestyle disease, in terms of people that they know that they're not feeling right and they go and get the standard bloods done, pathology, and it all kind of comes back within normal range, but they're still tired, they're not sleeping well, they're generally overwhelmed with stress, there's usually gut issues going on, the weight gain's kind of creeping on around the middle, and they know that they're supposed to be feeling a lot better than that.
Gut health is a really big thing with mood, tiredness, everything these days. What are some of the reasons our guts affect our brains so much?
Yeah, that's so true, Sam. Such a good question. With science catching up with the whole biome, they're suggesting that we're actually more like 1% human being and 99% microbes, with all the DNA that the microbes manufacture. So basically, our microbes have more DNA than we do in our genetics. And so it's like we're a rainforest manifesting as Sam. And it's protecting that rainforest that's important for anything that we kind of manifest within the body. And so more than 90% of our feel-good chemicals, like serotonin, our happy chemical, and which then feeds into melatonin, our sleep chemical, actually comes from our gut. And so we've all heard of the saying, butterflies in the stomach due to performance anxiety, and that person may need to go to the loo before they go on stage.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Heard of that.
But the bugs in the gut can really affect our mood and how we're thinking and feeling. So there's a constant highway of communication going on between the gut and the brain. And apparently it's more than 90% of the communication is from the gut to the brain. So the gut's kind of driving the whole dashboard.
That's one of the areas that you really need to look at if you're looking at wanting to feel better.
Yeah, exactly. Also, they've done studies where they've taken the bugs from an obese mouse and then inserted into the lean ones. The lean ones eat the same pellets they always did and go around the mouse maze the same way they always did. And so in that particular study, the only variability was the change in the ecosystem in the gut, and those lean mice become obese. And so in that, it just shifted them into a fat-storing metabolic state. So that's a good example where diet alone won't help with metabolism for a lot of people.
Yeah, you've got to start from the inside and work your way back out again.
Yeah, exactly.
What about if I came in and just said to you, which I have done many times, I'm just really tired. What would you look at there?
That's probably one of the number one persistent issues that clients come in with. And the first thing I'm always banging on about is sleep. And a lot of people think they're getting enough sleep, like they might be sleeping, let's say, 7 hours, but the quality of sleep's not there. And one of the key examples of that is waking up unrefreshed. You should wake up kind of refreshed and recharged and ready to go after you get out of bed after a couple of minutes. You should be fine. But if that's not actually happening, then having a deeper look into your sleep quality is really crucial.
And so some of the things that you could do to try and improve sleep, I know we've talked about the Bono glasses, so the light blocking glasses. Mobile phones at night are one of the worst things, right?
Totally.
And computers late at night because your body actually needs to wind down a bit.
Yeah.
What about magnesium and stuff like that? Is that good?
There's some great supplements that you can take. So magnesium is like a muscle relaxant, and particularly for the people out there that kind of get to sleep but then start waking up, that can also be a sign of magnesium deficiency. And so taking magnesium is really good. And then there's also some good herbs that you can take out there to help calm the system down. So things like passion flower and valerian and lavender for calming.
So lots of people in the industry belong to what we call the 5 a.m. club. And some people are a big fans of it, some people not so much. I guess it depends on personal preference. But if you wanted to be a member of the 5 a.m. club, what time should you be in bed, theoretically?
So you need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. So it should be 10 o'clock. Light's like definitely asleep by 10 o'clock. And the 5 a.m. club, those early hours of the morning, for a lot of people, are one of the most productive, sharpest, least distracting times of the day. And so it is a very good philosophy to implement. But you definitely, it's not about cheating yourself out of hours of sleep. On average, chronic sleep deprived people eat 400 calories more a day. And so that's
so that can actually, okay.
I mean, I can't believe that they have to do studies on that. You start to get sleep deprived 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you've hit the wall, you're tired, brain foggy, and of course we're going to reach for sugar, starch or stimulant to refuel the brain because you've got to keep going. And then it just ends up one big mess of putting weight on around the middle and then riding the roller coaster of up and down in energy. So you can't cheat yourself out of sleep.
Yep. Sleep creates productivity.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You kind of want to guard your sleep like your life depends on it, because where your body rests and heals itself is in the non-stress response. So when we're asleep and when we're not stressed.
Okay. What if I walked in and just said, I'm feeling angry, I've had a bad day, I've been stressed for 2 weeks and I'm feeling anxious. What could be causing that?
So from a physical point of view, it's making sure that you're putting regular logs on the fire, and so your blood sugar is not crashing, so your energy is not tanking in the afternoon. If you have a crash in blood sugar, it's quite stressful on the body, and that can trigger feelings of overwhelm and anxiety. And then when you're in that mental state, it is very hard to think clearly. And then, of course, there's also a stress component, like an emotional component. So looking at other areas in your life where there might be sources of stress and developing resilience and communication around that.
So that's interesting. So what you're saying is it's not all about, although a lot of it is about what you eat, some of it can be like a mental health kind of thing where some meditation or just calming down and breathing might help as
well.
Yeah,
exactly. From a physical point of view, our body's constantly eavesdropping on our thoughts and our feelings, and the way we think and feel also has a knock-on effect to the way we behave. And so a very small percentage of the population, they're like robots. They can just go like, right, today's the day, I'm going to start this plan, and they kind of robot their way through and they can follow it through to the end. And that would be part of the 8%ers. And then everyone else has coping mechanisms that have been behaviourally kind of built into the system. And so some people, it's a couple of wines at the end of the day. Some people, it's Ben and Jerry's. Some people, it's a little bit too much chocolate. And it's overcoming those habits that are really important for getting the goal of health as well.
What about foggy heads? Like, you know, like I alluded a little while ago to getting more forgetful as I get older, but in actual fact, you know, like there's certain steps I've taken this year that have allowed me to be more sharp. What are some of the steps that you can take to, let's call it, just get smarter?
Yeah. Get the competitive edge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Simple things like making sure that you're hydrated. So if you're at all dehydrated, that will cause mental alertness, concentration, fogginess. Not getting enough sleep is also crucial because you just get more fatigued through the day and then you crave more sugar. Basic mineral deficiencies like iron and vitamin deficiencies like B12 can cause brain fog and mental alertness and drowsiness and dizziness and just fatigue and mood changes. And then there's dealing with the stress component. So stress is in itself not an issue. It's the fact that with our society now and our lifestyles, we're just spending all day running against the tiger or slaying the tiger. So basically, we need to learn how to switch the stress response off and calm down. So that's where things like meditation and exercising and doing things like interval training, where you just burn off stress in the body, is really, really important for energy and mental alertness and also mood and anxiety.
Yeah, and this is a good time of the year to kind of start that, because hopefully not everyone's gotten back into the stress of work. So if you could start creating those habits now, like what are the sort of things that you'd be looking at doing while things are a bit quieter?
You kind of want to set yourself up for success. And so going back to the three keys of success and what it looks like, there's a decision that's made. And then the second part is you keep doing it even when you don't want to do it. So it's really super easy to wake up in the morning and have like a really healthy eggs and veggies, or have a smoothie, or even fast. Where your commitment shows up towards your goal is, you know, take real estate, for example. Your property might be up for auction and it's auction night and it sells. Yep. And so you want to reward that. Or opposite, it doesn't sell and you want to relieve the stress. And so typically people will reach for a couple of glasses of wine. So your commitment to the outcome shows up when it's not convenient. And the hardest thing about change is having the presence of mind to be able to do things differently that you would have done previously. And so where you actually get the competitive edge and get the result is when it's really, really tough. And so the other example would be the alarm's gone off at 5 a.m. in the morning and it's time to do your 5 a.m. club, and it might be pouring rain outside. The 8%ers will basically jump up, turn the alarm off, put their sneakers on, and then work out how they're going to train. And then everyone else goes back to bed. It's too cold, it's too wet, I'll deal with it later. So they're the moments that really matter.
If we could dig into that for a little minute, because I wrote something this year that was kind of loosely based on the work that we'd done called The Cheat Is Not the Treat.
Awesome, yeah.
And, yeah, I say that you can hashtag that.
That is really cool.
If you like, because I was the prime example of doing that. Like, we get an issue into the printers and then it'd be off for a few wines, and then I'd wake up feeling lousy the next day when I'd felt great all week.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, it's almost so the wine was the cheat, but it ends up not being the treat because you end up sacrificing the way you feel for a short-term high, let's call it.
And so part of the relieve reward response, that never ever goes away. So back in the day when we were again running away from the tiger or slaying it, and that perceived threat was over, and you get that rush of like chemicals through the body, it's like you'll either want to relieve it or reward it. So you need to learn, we need to learn how to deal with those moments. And the key to dealing with that is building rituals into your week so you become more resilient. And so coming up with a list of kind of non-negotiables, where I'm going to start exercising more consistently, I'm going to eat food. And if it's basically one of your goals is to trim down, you need to be on plan about 90% of the time. And you still want to build in that 10% wiggle room for those moments where maybe you have had an argument with someone, or you're a little less unresourceful, or you do want to celebrate the auction because it's a huge win. And not having that contingency in your plan over the long run is the fastest way to step off and go, this is too hard and I'm too stressed, I'm too busy. And so by allowing a little bit of grace in your schedule so you can reward it is really, really important.
This is going to be a tricky question, right? Or maybe not so tricky, but I'm sure that a lot of people walk into your office and say, I need to get healthy. And then you'll give them a plan. This is not me, folks, because I've been on plan mostly.
You've done really, really well.
80% of the time, I reckon. But I'm sure a lot of people walk into you and then you say, all right, well, you know, you're going to need 7 hours of sleep and you're going to need to put some time into preparing your food. And, you know, if you want peak performance, you are really going to need to think about clearing some headspace for yourself and all those good things. And then the person says to you, but Victoria, I don't have the time for all of that.
That's probably the one thing that people say. And so you've kind of nailed it there. The way that I handle that, there's a couple of aspects to it. So time, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. So time's just another one of those kind of excuses that we tell ourselves. But then with your health, because we are busy and we have other external commitments, it's like when we start to get tired or really stressed, we do dump on our health. It's so easy to chuck it out the window.
It's the first thing. Exactly. Usually, yeah.
Particularly when there's nothing seriously wrong. So what I get clients to do is come up with their top three priorities in life. Using you as an example, Sam, what would be your top three priorities?
Well, to live to 180 now.
Yeah. With your marbles fully intact.
Yeah, with my marbles fully intact. You know, to be able to max out the day, because I remember not last year but the year before, I was kind of just getting through the day and just hanging on, whereas, you know, like I need to be my most creative. So I need to be able to actually think clearly, quickly, and not have to work 24 hours a day to get there.
Exactly. And so your career and your business is kind of one of your top priorities. If you don't have your health, what will happen?
Well, I think in this case we know the answer to that question, but I think, you know, you're right. There's a lot of people out there who probably are sacrificing their health for their business, but without them, particularly as real estate agents, most of them, if they don't list and sell, then it's very hard to earn an income.
Exactly. Like right way back in my early days of practice, I had a client who nailed it. So she was in the communications game, and when she came in with like gut issues and sinus, and she wanted to lose like 20 kilos or something like that. And anyway, about six sessions in, she's feeling great. She's on top of the world. And then she comes in bounding and she goes, "Victoria, you wouldn't believe what happened. I've landed the Woolworths gig." She was in the communications game. And she said to me, "You know what? If I hadn't started this journey and improved my health, then I really feel like I wouldn't have been able to respond and articulate and communicate in the timely fashion and in a way that enrolled the key stakeholders for me to land that gig." And so that's a really powerful example of how it's not an either-or strategy. It needs to be both. So I'm a super awesome at real estate and selling and closing the deal, and I'm also lean, fit and healthy, because I know that by being lean, fit and healthy, I'm in peak, sharp mental alertness.
Yeah, and I think people buy into your energy as well. I think that's 80% of it, is they've got to like you, and I think energy is just such a massive part of that.
Absolutely.
Are there any good resources that you're a fan of, any good books, podcasts or reading that you'd recommend for people that do want to get on the right path? And I did some sleuthing on your website actually, and there's a 7-day plan, I think, on your website that you can just go and download for free. So
yes,
we'll leave some links for that in the show notes. But is there anything else that you kind of recommend that people look up or read if they're interested in getting fitter and happier and healthier in 2020?
Yeah, Dave Asprey's one of them. I just think he is a shining example of, and he's congruent to his message, and he's a genius. Like, he's gone from zero to bazillionaire literally overnight, and so he's very, very inspiring. And the people that he has on his podcasts, like he's being a game changer, he's ahead of the curve, and so anything new that's being developed, he's on top of. And then another guy that I really love is Ben Greenfield, and he's very similar to Dave Asprey, but he comes from a sports nutrition background. And so, again, he has a lot of the cutting-edge advances. Chris Kresser is really great. He's an American clinical nutritionist. And then I don't mind Robin Sharma as well. I think that he's great.
We're all fans of Robin Sharma in the real estate industry for sure.
Yeah.
We've talked about so much, so I want to thank you today for coming in and sharing your knowledge. It's nice to see you in my office instead of me being in yours. But if you did nothing else, what is one thing that you would like everyone to remember from the chat that we've had today?
Sticking to a plan 90% of the time and making sure that you're eating properly and locking down the macros. So eating well, exercising, and not burning yourself into the ground. So if you're not exercising at the moment, just starting, like going for a basic walk, so then you don't end up in the physiotherapist's office 2 weeks later because you've got a ankle injury.
Yeah. Yeah, been there, done that. Buy a Fitbit. They're very inspirational. That's it. All right, Victoria O'Sullivan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me along, Sam. It's been fun.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.